drama, comedy, two sides of the same coin. Riverdale wasn't just a teen dramedy, it was a study in teenage angst, yearning, and nostalgia. They didn't know it when they started on their journey, but Macintosh and Maude were on their way to a newfound obsession. Macintosh and Maude's chocolate shop was open for business. Riverdale, Season 1, Episode 3, Chapter 3, Body Double. After Archie and Cheryl open up to the sheriff, Betty asks Jughead to cover the case for the school paper, and Veronica tingles with jock Chuck.
Alright, so are you ready for my one-minute recap?
Alright, let's do it.
Here we go. Jughead's writing a novel, Jason's still dead, Archie has sex with Grundy, but they can't tell anybody, Jason hurt Polly, Jason got murdered, and Cheryl is guilty?
Very nice.
There we go. So we start off, Jughead's waxing poetic. Life, death, guilt, innocence.
Good, evil, barf.
And we go into, Cheryl's in the room with the sheriff and Principal Weatherby, and she says, now, I want to be clear, I'm not guilty of Jason's murder. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of lying about what happened on the 4th. And so,
dun, dun, dun.
And so she actually reveals less of the details. The sheriff really reveals most of it. And she just, you know, he says, well, okay, we put the date of death at about July 11th. Mm-hmm. So it's been a week. It was a week after the 4th that he died. And Cheryl tells us her side, her real side of the story. She doesn't know what happened after the 4th. Jason wanted to get away from his family. He faked an accident with the boat so mm-hmm. that nobody would come looking for him, and she was supposed to keep the story. And once he was safely away from his parents and everyone, he was supposed to call her mm-hmm. and never did.
And she doesn't know why.
Nope. And not only does she not know why, but she has nobody that knows about it and can corroborate her story.
Yeah, so the sheriff starts getting a little intense with her.
And... I mean, I sort of put it as, in this fictional world, he's got reason to be suspicious.
Yeah. But, again. Not again, but... She's a minor.
Yeah.
The way he's talking to her should not be happening.
No, I get it. But, you know, it's fictional TV world, so...
If she
were a grown-up... Right?
Yeah.
If she were a grown-up person, then one of the things that we would see here is that, look, she has no corroborating witnesses, she's got no evidence to do, and she was the only person to be seen with him last. Mm-hmm. So it makes it only makes sense that she would be the prime suspect.
Well, once she lets it slip that they heard a gunshot...
And the sheriff's like, this is the first we're hearing about this.
Like, you're just telling us this, and she tries to... reason away with, like, I was in shock, I was upset, and he's like, oh, you were so upset that you were singing and dancing at a pep rally the next day?
And then right about that time, her parents barge in the door.
Yeah.
And shut it down, like, immediately.
Yeah. So, Cheryl's parents' names are Penelope and Clifford, and Penelope is, you know, grabbing Cheryl and saying, why didn't you call us? Why didn't you come and get us? And Clifford is just kind of pushing him out the door. He's like, because she's a liar, Penelope. So clearly there's some family dynamic here that are not great.
Something.
Okay.
And as they're leaving, we see Archie looking on. You see his black eye. And...
he's kind of like, what?
Yeah. This is not what I was ready for.
Yeah.
I was prepared to go in here and tell my story. And then something else happened.
Quick note, when Cheryl's telling her story, she says that they got out of the boat on the Greendale side.
Uh-huh.
Greendale is where Sabrina Spellman is from. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh my gosh. If we have a Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Please let there be a Wiccan girl named Sabrina. I need that in my life.
But if, like, she actually does magic, they will have officially jumped the shark on this show.
Not if she's just Wiccan.
Well, or they do a spinoff and we reveal she has real magic powers. Which is entirely likely.
I think it's likely that they will be doing some spinoffs.
I feel like I've already heard Sabrina the Teenage Witch was getting done.
There was the original Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Melissa Joan Hart, which I totally watched all the time.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was cute. Cheesy, but that was part of
the cat was the best part of the show.
Oh, he was amazing. But there was talk that they were going to reboot that with Melissa Joan Hart playing, I think, one of the aunts, which would that'd be fine.
But this.
This would be a completely different direction for Sabrina, which would be cool. I mean,
would it, or would it just be a rehash of Buffy?
It'd be a little more Buffy-esque, but that could be cool. With it being more witchcraft, that's a whole different thing.
Title screen, Riverdale. Mm-hmm. So, next thing we show up is Alice walks into Betty's room and drops off the newest news article.
With the headline, Cheryl Blossom, guilty of sin.
And Betty's appropriately weirded out by how much coverage her mom is giving this story.
Yeah, she yells, Mom, you need to stop sensationalizing this horrible thing. Whatever Jason did to Polly, he's still a person.
And also, I mean, we've hinted at it this whole time, but this makes it very clear. Alice is covering this story for the Riverdale. What's the name of the
Riverdale Register, which apparently her and her husband Hal, so both Betty's parents, they own the newspaper.
Right. So they run this paper. Yeah, whatever Jason did to Polly, he's still a person.
Mm-hmm.
And
then she kind of goes on about how what her mom should be investigating instead of, you know, just focusing on the Blossom family.
There's all this stuff. And then also, hey, a kid is dead. Like, are we not going to talk about that?
Yeah.
And Alice just gives the general line again of, you know, hey, look, we got to do, we print what sells.
And I was just like, you know, why don't you come work with your father and me? We could use a real Lois Lane type, which is kind of a Smallville reference.
Eye roll.
Yeah, it's definitely an eye roll.
Anyway, Archie goes to the principal's office, and Archie's gonna confess.
Oh, after he watches Miss Grundy play the cello for a little bit.
Again.
Through the window. It's really creepy.
It's so bad.
It's gross. It feels gross.
But, Archie's spilling the beans, and he goes in and he says, I was there, and I heard the gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
Or first he says, they're saying that Cheryl is talking about a gunshot. I heard it too.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sheriff Keller goes, were you by yourself? Archie says, no. And we don't know what he's going to say for a little bit. We have some flashback sequences.
Oh, yeah. It's a flashback of him and Miss Grundy. And she says to him, let's make it a 4th of July you'll never forget.
Let's just leave it here. She's playing it like it was a porno.
She is porno acting.
And so I read a thing.
Please let that be her backstory, that she's a porn star.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing.
But, like,
oh, that was
somebody bad. Somebody put out an article. I found one on Polygon. Maybe we'll link to it in the show notes. But they went into the real, real problems behind showing this type of relationship on screen. And in many ways, they bring it up, is that it's one thing to have a teacher-student relationship and then really dive around those dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
I think they quoted another CW show that did this recently and actually got into the real issues behind that and the shame that comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a huge amount of shame for guys who get assaulted by their teachers. And they can't talk about it because everybody expects them to not feel bad. But it's still just as shameful as any assault on anyone.
Yes.
And this, what they have done thus far, and they say, you know, we're not through this yet, so we don't know where the story's going to go. But right now, they're playing it as literally just this hot, steamy romance. And that's totally not cool.
Yeah, it's not good. And it doesn't help that she's bad acting all over the place.
Or porn acting, one of the two. We can't really.
It's not good.
I know. So I found that interesting, like finding that little article that really dove into what the real problem is here. It's not that you shouldn't have this on screen. It's that the way they're doing it is just so gross.
It's just sensationalizing it.
Yeah.
Instead of
actually getting any real.
They do get into, I don't know exactly where I've seen it per se, but I know they talk about it more when it's a male teacher and a female student.
Yeah.
About how bad it is, but it's always, I mean, yeah.
And it's one of these things where
it's not good.
It's 2017, and this is a perfect time. I don't know. We'll link to that article, though, because it's pretty good. But he lies about Grundy and just says, you know,
he's with his dog.
Vegas. That's it. So we're in the common room that we've been in before, mm-hmm. and we're talking about suspects. Everybody's chatting. And everybody's asking Kevin, because, you know, your dad's the sheriff.
Like, what does he have to say? Kevin says, my dad says we're all suspects, even me.
And Veronica rightfully points out, like, I ain't a suspect.
I mean, I don't know these people.
I don't know any of these people. I just got here. And Keller's like, should we re-binge Making a Murderer on Netflix?
Full disclosure, we have not finished Making of a Murderer. No. We got bored.
Bored slash, it was so much information to try to take in. I feel like if we watched it, if we took it in bite size over time, it'd be a lot easier to digest. Mm. I think we tried to throw ourselves into it, and it was hard.
Fair.
You know, they actually do talk about getting together after school, and Betty says, no, she's busy doing some reporting, so she's taking her mom's advice.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica has a date.
With Chuck Clayton.
Chuck Clayton is the new kid. He's the coach's son. So if you remember from the first episode.
And new football coach. Yeah. Coach Clayton's son.
And Betty warns Veronica, is like, you know, are you sure about this? He's kind of a player. And Kevin Keller retorts with, but
he's the hottest of the hot. He's like the Riverdale equivalent of dating a Kennedy.
Well, and before that, he even goes, who cares? So, that gives an idea of what's up with Veronica. So we cut to a dark, musty room with a bunch of blankets over computers and things like that. And Jughead's in the doorway and says, if print journalism is dead, what am I doing here? Hmm. And Betty
calls him Juggy.
Mm-hmm.
She wants him to come write for the Blue and Gold, which is what the school paper. She asks him, you know, you're writing a book. And he goes, yeah, it's Riverdale's In Cold Blood. And she reminds him that In Cold Blood started out as a bunch of articles.
She's like, and so, you know, he's like, would I have complete freedom? She's like, well, I'm going to edit and suggest and maybe offer things here and there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's your voice and your story. And Jughead goes, that doesn't sound like total freedom to me.
But okay.
So, I mean, Betty makes the case plain. She's like, I just want to know what happened. I want to figure this out. Because something happened here, and nobody's willing to figure it out. And I know you will.
Yeah. And so Betty brings up, there's one person who was there that nobody's talking to. And Jughead's like, Dalton Doyle and his scouts. I said snacks. What the hell?
Scouts. And so
Betty's like, yeah, go talk to him. And as Jughead's walking away, he does that little nose wipe.
Yep.
With something on the nose. And it's just cute. It's just sweet.
So, sidebar here. I saw this the other day. The rest of this cast is 5 years younger than Cole.
That is nuts, because he looks way more babyface than anybody
else. I know,
else.
And he's 25.
Everyone else is about 20.
Everyone's about 20.
That surprises me. I can't believe Ben Geller is 25 years old. He'll always be Ben Geller to me. Or the kid from Big Daddy who yells, I wipe my own ass.
How much money should we put down that Dylan's going to show up on the show before the end of it?
No, because they don't really look as much alike.
He could still show up as a character.
That would be weird.
You never know.
It would be super weird. It would. Dylan has super long hair, too.
But on the other hand, it would be like the CW to figure that out, wouldn't it?
I don't care.
Anyway.
I think it's a gimmick for the sake of having a stupid gimmick, and it's not necessary.
So in the first of several man Archie's not really good at hiding stuff moments this episode, Archie comes home petting Vegas, and Dad walks in and said, you went on a road trip with Jughead on the 4th. At least that's what you told me. Then I talked to Sheriff Keller today. So Dad knows.
Yep.
And Dad's like, you lied to me again. Mm-hmm. You keep lying to me. And he's like, why didn't you tell me? Archie goes, well, I didn't want to bother you. And his dad says, you should have come to me, Archie. We could have gone together.
Yeah, that was an error in judgment. And he's grounding him for 2 weeks. He's like, you wanted time alone with your music? Now you got it.
Luke Perry is our new dad.
I love Luke Perry. Oh, he's adorable. And Archie's totally acting like a
Spoiled brat.
Spoiled brat, little teenager boy.
Yep.
Because he tries me, I'm not seven, Dad. I'm like, no, we're not. I'm not ten anymore. Yeah, it's stupid. It's like, don't
It's also funny, though, just imagining Archie, because you know that would be if Archie were acting like a bratty teenager, mm-hmm. because his dad would have done the stern lesson at 10 years old.
Yeah.
So we're outside the chocolate shop now, and Chuck and Veronica are taking selfies in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a conversation. Chuck's pleasantly surprised by Veronica, it seems.
Yeah, he thought she would be more high maintenance. And then he asks her, you know, what she misses about New York. She says everything. It's exhausting being the new kid. And Chuck agrees. And he's like, imagine being the new kid when your dad is the new teacher and the new head coach.
And then Veronica shows her cards.
She's like, you know, oh, you know, yeah, you're the captain of the football team and you're, you've got Ivy League aspirations. And Chuck says something like, oh, you did your homework. And Veronica says, Veronica is nothing if not an informed consumer. And he says, oh, I want to have my hands full with you. And they start making out.
Yep, they make out.
That's all right. I mean.
So, Archie goes in and talks to Miss Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Grundy's freaking out.
Why
did you say something to the police about a gunshot you heard when somebody got murdered?
Mm-hmm.
Again, just the logic here.
It's so bad.
And the big climactic moment here is that she suspends lessons.
Mm-hmm. Whoop-de-doo.
She's not going to give him lessons anymore in music.
So shameful.
Ugh.
Okay.
All right. So now we're back at school, mm-hmm. and Veronica's at her locker, and Betty says, how did the date go? And Veronica's like, whatever.
He's all right.
He's boring. He's not my type.
He's not. She basically implies that he's just not smart enough for her.
Nope. That's an interesting little, it's an interesting thing with Veronica is that I think everybody sees her as the quote-unquote bad girl, but she's like, I like smarter dudes. I'm not dumb.
She wants someone who can keep up with her.
Yep.
Because she's smart.
Yep. And now it's sticky maple time.
Yeah, all of us, two girls walk by, and they ask Veronica, how was your sticky maple with Chuck? And she goes, we had a sundae, that's what you hyenas mean. and then she gets her phone out, and she sees that there is some sort of Instagram post.
Everybody's phones are out.
Everybody's phones go off, which is very Gossip Girl-like. She's looking at this Instagram post. It's the picture that Chuck took of them that she approved of, but on it is this... it looks like there's maple syrup running down her face. So he's added something to it.
Is it maple syrup?
Well, the picture is using something that is supposed to be maple syrup, but it's definitely there to imply that that is semen.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
It's gross. And she's like, this is slut shaming. And she goes, I am neither a slut, and I'm not going to be shamed by somebody named, excuse me, Chuck Clayton.
I will cut the brakes on his souped-up phallic symbol.
That's a great line.
And so then Betty has the rational idea to go tell Principal Weatherby.
Or that she can expose him in the paper.
Not as rational, whatever. Okay. But I was like, oh, hey, look, Betty has common sense in this moment.
Well, she's a little more even-tempered, and Veronica's like, spoken like a girl who's never broken the rules.
And she lays out the point and lays out a pretty good reason for not doing that. And it's like, he's the golden boy. He's the captain of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
If I go do this, nobody's going to believe me, the new girl.
Yeah.
So she just lays in with Betty on...
She's like, I make the rules, and on the rare occasion I break them. It's time to go full dark, no stars.
It's a great line.
It is, and well, it's super cheesy, but I...
It's a great high school line. Let me leave it there.
It makes her point.
But she's like, are you with me, Betty? And Betty's like, I guess...
Yeah.
So, we go to commercial, and we come back, they barge into the locker room.
Yes, where we get our Archie Andrew shirtless moment.
There's one every episode.
And he's almost pantsless, because he almost loses his towel.
And freaks out.
And Veronica totally brushes him off, but Betty's totally acting like a prude.
She's got her hands up by her face. Her hand over her face.
It's, It's kind of adorable.
Archie tries to convince him to go, and Veronica will not have it. And she just walks up and confronts Chuck.
And Chuck said, you know, he's like, oh, B and V, le mage à toi, which is their first B and V reference.
And clearly, he's
being a dick.
He's a disgusting garbage
person. He invites the girls to ride the Chuck wagon. Chuck wagon is not something you want to ride.
It's rough.
Yeah.
It's not pleasurable.
Bad.
And I love that he goes this gross way, and Betty tries to insult him, and the best she can get out is, you can't treat girls like this, you jerk.
Yeah.
Which is just like, that's pretty good. She can't get a better insult than that. And then he puts out this line, he was like, I don't know what betas you were dealing with where you came from.
He says, high-toned bitch attitude may have worked on the betas you dated in New York, but you're in bulldog territory now.
Which, bulldog is the school mascot.
Yeah.
But I just go like...
One of the guys starts barking at her, and then... That's...
And I went, betas, really? You live in a tiny, stupid town somewhere, and you're going to call yourselves alpha males?
It's big fish, small pond syndrome.
I know.
That's all it is.
Whatever. So... We now flash over to the Adventure Scouts and Dilton Doily, who is intense.
He is way too intense to be like 16, 17 years old.
He's like talking to them about how to protect themselves against, I guess, getting killed.
I don't know, but Jughead shows up and he's like, "I'm here to ask about the gunshot." Dilton decides to be condescending. He says, I didn't hear anything unusual. And so Jughead kind of leans on him, you didn't hear or you didn't see?
I'll tell you what I told weird. Sheriff Keller.
Yeah. And through this whole conversation, there's one of the random scouts is kind of like getting nervous and looking at
Well, he's looking Jughead. Over at Jughead and then quickly goes away when Jughead catches his eye. And Dilton, you know, tries to play it off stupid with, you know, well,
I saw this bird, blah, blah, blah. It's really lame and something's up.
Well, it's lame, except that it's sinister lame.
Well, yeah. It's...
Like, Dilton's effed up.
A little bit.
So, now we're in a classroom. God, the show cuts so fast
it
between
cuts
scenes.
So often.
So, we're just going to say it every time. Now, cut to.
Pretty much.
Cheryl, who wants to thank Archie.
Yeah, she's like, if it weren't for you, people would think I was lying about the gunshot.
And, you know, it's like, I wanna do you a favor. And Archie's like, please, I want you to understand, I didn't do it for anybody. I mean, he's being earnest. He's like, I did it for me.
And Cheryl says, save the aw shucks for Betty. And she looks at him, she goes, nothing is off the table except for my body. Which is gross.
And
it's a gross statement.
But Archie thinks about it for a second and goes...
Actually, there is something.
There is one thing. And immediately we're in a classroom. And in walks Josie McCoy. And it's just like, my girl Cheryl needs me to do her a solid. So that's why I'm here. I don't know what you think you're going to be able to learn from me. But we've got a show at the Taste of Riverdale in a week. And you can come to rehearsals and watch us and learn. You can watch us write songs. And Archie and so she walks out the door, and Archie goes, oh, wait, this week I'm grounded. And Josie just death stares him.
Like, really?
And he goes, well, right, not my problem. Sorry. And Archie gets a big grin on his face.
He's very excited.
Because he's excited. He's going to get a chance.
Her dress is too short.
Uh-huh.
And she's wearing high boots with heels.
It's...
Riverdale dress code is ridiculous. All I'm going to say.
And so now we have the scene between Veronica and Hermione. And
it's really short. Veronica's at home. She's sitting at the table, and she's reading the comments from the picture that Chuck posted, and she's crying.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want her mom to see her. Her mom asks her how her date went.
And her mom's getting ready for work, too.
Yeah. And what does Veronica say about Chuck?
I mean, the number one, she says, you know, I like the way that boy looked. And she goes, the better they look, the worse they are. The more rotten they are inside. The better they look on the outside, the more rotten they are on the inside. And her mom just kind of goes like, what does that mean?
And then these Veronica's phone rings and it's Betty. She goes, hey, I gotta take this.
And so we see her walking down the hall of the school, and she walks into the blue and gold offices, and there are 8 girls sitting around Betty.
Yep.
And Betty goes, I did some digging.
I asked around. You're not the only one who's had this problem with Chuck.
And the person who speaks up
is Ethel, who is played by Shannon Pulser,
who is
Barb.
That's right, guys. Barb from Stranger Things.
Yep.
I was so excited. I was like, it's Barb.
Yeah.
Barb is here.
Yeah, it's Barb.
So
she's playing Ethel Muggs,
mm-hmm.
who is the Jughead equivalent in the comics.
Okay. But Ethel tells her, what does Cheryl call it? Her sordid origin story, or her tragic origin story.
Tragic origin story.
But
basically, Ethel says that she's had a problem with Chuck as well. She helped him in the library once with a
calculus problem,
and then he told everyone that she let him do sex stuff.
Yeah, sex stuff.
Sex stuff.
Which, based on some other lines later on in this episode, we have to wonder what can and can't make it past the censors.
It's so, like, how explicit are they? I mean, I get, you know,
and maybe it was
obvious words, but
maybe it was a character choice with Ethel.
No,
but that seems dumb.
It does seem dumb. Like, why is she like, oh, he told everyone I gave him a blowjob?
Well, because
that line is less stupid,
and because the next line she says is that all the guys came over to her locker and they wrote sloppy seconds on her locker.
Yeah, that sounds way grosser than
I was like,
blowjob.
Some of the censorship stuff for the CW doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, I don't know where their line is.
So Cheryl pops in and talks about, you know, your tragic backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And begins to continue the slut shaming.
Yeah, Ethel mentions that they keep score, and it's 5 guys on the football team.
In a playbook.
And Cheryl is like, my brother had nothing to do with that. And she doesn't want her brother to be smeared. And then she makes another comment, like, okay, River Vixens, we've got our practice soon. I want you, your sluts better get ready. And
She and Veronica start to argue.
Yeah.
And Cheryl gets in a couple of good lines.
She refers to Veronica as Frida Shallow.
And she also, I think when she's talking to Betty, Betty's just like, but we have proof. And she goes, proof of what, Nancy Drew?
Oh, yeah, she tells Nancy Drew. That's also appropriate.
But she also uses the phrase, and this is enraging to me, especially as a guy, that phrase, boys will be boys.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
No, they fucking won't.
Boys will be held accountable for their actions.
Exactly. Boys do not get to write hurtful things and try to shame women in order to get their way.
Women are not objects.
No. And it's just disgusting mm-hmm. to hear. And rightfully so, they're doing that with Cheryl for a reason. But it's so enraging.
Well, and Veronica gets up in Cheryl's face and is like, call them sluts one more time. I'm not putting up with any more of these privileged miscreants.
Which
is a good line. I like, this was a scene where she goes up against Cheryl and it makes sense because she's pissed. But Veronica does not get to use the word privilege talking about anybody else because she is fucking privileged.
Well, I think the better point that Veronica drives home is like, it doesn't matter who did what.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to bring the point home to Cheryl of, it doesn't matter whether your brother did anything or not or would have tolerated this.
If he was involved, it was wrong.
But moreover, what she's bringing the point home is, there are 8 girls sitting in front of us right now who are telling their stories, and it's all the same thing. You mm-hmm. cannot get behind that. And it's the same thing with so many different things with sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, and it shouldn't take that many people to believe, but when you have that many people coming forward to talk about bad behavior,
mm-hmm.
at some point, people have to get over their bullshit and investigate.
Yep.
And that's such a great point they bring up with mm-hmm. this. She's like, I don't care who did what to who and who we're trying to protect. This isn't okay. And you see some recognition with Cheryl in that moment.
Mm-hmm. It shuts her up.
So, Jughead, well, we cut to Pop's Chocolate Shop, and that scout who was looking over at Jughead earlier is having a milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
And Jughead pops over, grabs the cherry on top of the milkshake, and then starts grabbing the milkshake and eating it with a spoon, mm-hmm. and starts grilling him.
Yep.
And the scout just basically reveals that
it was Dilton who shot the gun, and he's a hardcore survivalist.
Which then I go, what the fuck?
It's funny.
It's funny, but they are 16, 17.
Hey. Columbine.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's where they're going with him.
I hope not, but...
Well, maybe not that far,
you
but
get
they're...
You get to an age where you think you know everything. As a teenager, and you start thinking you're an adult. And you can make those types of decisions.
Yeah. So, Archie is sneaking out the window to band practice, mm-hmm. badly. He's so bad at it.
He's so stupid.
And I think that's the point.
It comes up later, but he's an idiot. So anyways, he goes to meet the Pussycats, and we meet Melody Valentine and Valerie Brown.
And we met them when we first met the Pussycats.
Yeah, they just didn't name them.
But we have their full names.
Yeah. They don't tell us Melody's last name. I looked that up.
Oh, yeah. But... you know, we officially introduced the other Pussycats, and, you know, they're starting to talk, and Josie walks in and starts to shut things down.
Well, she comes in, and she's like, okay, Archie, what do you want? And he's just like, I want y'all to play my songs and make them better. And Josie's like, you think you can write for divas of color? And she talks about how, you know, Riverdale is becoming more open-minded, but do you understand how much hate mail my mom got when she was elected mayor? And Archie tries to be like, I campaigned for
your
mom.
And she's like, no. No,
you don't get it.
And then gives the perfect line of, do you know why we're called the Pussycats? Because we have to claw our way into the same rooms that you just get to waltz into.
Mm-hmm. And Melody tries to be like, okay, tone it down, Josie. And Archie interrupts Melody and is like, no, she's right. Absolutely. Which I really do... I know it could easily have been an eye roll moment, but it gives some context to how intense she was in that first episode, which was probably a bit much, but I also like that they've given her this framework for their work ethic, and they've also given Archie the ability to be like, y'all are right. Like, absolutely.
Well, and it plays against that whole thing. It plays against the normal stereotype of a diva of color, you know, being as part of the stereotype of this person, and it's instead framing it as like, I'm tough because I have to be, and I'm not gonna put up with BS from you because you think you're such a good songwriter.
Yeah,
I've got my own baggage to deal with, and you better recognize that before we're even gonna start working together.
I hope they date later.
Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting to go on.
That would be interesting for a lot of reasons.
So, you know, they keep going. We cut to, though, we're at the Blue and Gold offices. Mm-hmm. And
Ethel walks in, and she's got a guy with her. And she goes, hey, do you guys know Trev Brown? It's Valerie's brother.
Valerie Brown, who we just met.
Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I used to play football, but I quit when I saw Chuck's playbook. So he knows about this playbook. It's real.
And he says... I think I know where they have it hidden. Or I think I know where it is. So now it's night. They've got flashlights. And they've broken into the school.
And they get startled by Cheryl Blossom, who shows up. And she goes, well, color me impressed. A B&E with B&V. What would your holy roller mother say, Betty? I mean, that's a great line.
Quintessential Cheryl.
It's pretty great.
And,
then Kevin Keller
makes... Well, they're interrupting. It's like, what are you doing here, Cheryl? And then Kevin Keller says...
And where did you get those thigh-high boots? They're amazing. Great.
And so Cheryl's like, I decided I wanted to help you. And Betty's like, well, how do we know you're not just going to try to derail the investigation? And Cheryl just looks at her and goes, get over yourself, Betty. It's perfect. It was like, hey, Cheryl is willing to help you guys out. Mm-hmm. Just leave it alone.
Ethel finds the playbook.
And they weren't even hiding it. It was just in a locker.
Yeah. V takes a picture, and they start looking at the names. And we see Veronica's name.
She's the newest one.
So she gets the new girl bonus. And Ethel says it's better than the big girl bonus, 7.5.
Veronica's a 9.
Yeah, Veronica was a +9. And Cheryl just like, my brother wouldn't have anything to do with it. And Betty looks at it. And she sees Polly's name is in there. She goes, Polly's name's in there next to Jason.
Yep.
And Cheryl kind of takes a step and she goes, maybe I didn't know Jason.
Well, first she says, it's like, but there's no way. There's just no way he would have done that. And Betty's like, it's right there, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. It's in the book.
Yeah, and so we had to pause this. I noticed the first time we watched the episode, but then later we went and paused it frame by frame. Polly's name is in there twice.
Yes.
The first time she gets 9 points and it's next to Jason. And the second time we can't see who's claiming it, but it says Polly again, bro, -2 points, and then in parentheses it says for feelings.
So we're reasonably certain it's Jason. It wouldn't be anybody else.
Wouldn't make sense for it to be, unless Polly's name is in there somewhere else that we can't see. But she's definitely in there twice.
And that's like, that's a bit of a head scratcher there. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to miss if you're not looking.
Yeah.
Veronica's like, whatever, taking a picture, and we're sending it to Principal Weatherby. And Betty goes, don't these girls deserve real justice?
We want justice.
And she's
and
like...
And vengeance.
And I've got a plan.
And Betty's got a plan.
So we cut back to band practice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on a song, and Melody has had a real rut writing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to figure stuff out, they're spitballing, and Archie throws out an idea.
He pitches a line, so the girls are like, all right, let's try it. They sing the first bit of the song,
and they're vibing with it. And Archie's just like beaming; he's so happy that it worked.
He's high, basically,
and he's just like, "I can't believe that worked. That's so awesome."
Yeah. So when the girls finish singing the first little bit, they're like, "Okay." Josie's like, "All right, what else you got?" And he instantly goes, "Okay, let's switch the verses."
He's like, so, maybe, "What if I was thinking maybe you could invert the third and the second verse?"
Yeah. So he
and we cut away, and clearly the point is. He's got talent, and they recognize
and
it.
And he's in it. He's in for it.
And now we smash cut over to Betty's room, mm-hmm. where she is putting on a lot of makeup.
She's doing herself up. Her mom walks in. She goes, "Seduce Scarlet doesn't suit you." And Polly says, "It was Polly's. I like it. It makes me feel powerful." And her mom goes, "Polly grew up too fast. I don't want that to happen to you." Oh, it's so creepy.
But it's very intense with it too.
It's everything with her mother is very intense. So her mom grabs a makeup wipe.
She was like, you know, she talks about Veronica first.
No.
Oh, okay.
After this, she...
Oh, you're right.
She gets the makeup wipe and she goes, "Are you coming with us to the mayor's shindig?" Right. And Betty says, "No, I'm going over to Veronica's to study for a test." And her mom says something like, you know, Veronica Lodge.
As she's saying this,
she is very forcefully wiping the makeup, the lipstick off of Betty's face. And so it's leaving a smear on her.
Yeah.
And Betty says, "Veronica's my friend and you need to get over it. Need to deal with it, Mom."
And Mom just takes that in for a moment.
And she grabs another lipstick, which we can clearly see is CoverGirl. She goes, "Pink Perfection. That's your shade.
It's more your shade.
It's more you." So gross. And neither of those shades are, that I could find. I did a little Google search, but I cannot find either of those as a CoverGirl shade.
Well.
Doesn't mean they won't be later.
Just gotta wait for the Riverdale line.
No, that's totally gonna happen.
And right after that, we are at the chocolate shop,
mm-hmm.
and Betty walks in.
Chuck's eating, and Betty walks in, and she is scantily clad.
She's tarted up.
She's a little tarted up. She's got a little cleavage showing, her midriff showing. She's got the Seduce Scarlet lipstick back on.
But she's got the ponytail, and so she's very much...
She looks like she's trying to look sultry and very seductive.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Which is... crazy levels of doing stuff. You're already innocent. You know you can be dirty. And now you're adding the layer of your innocence on top of the dirty.
Yeah. And she knows what she's doing.
Which, it's very clear. And it's mm-hmm. like, that's interesting.
So she sits down with Chuck.
And basically it's just...
She basically propositions him.
Well, first she says, you know, can I sit? And he's like, not if you're going to talk about Veronica. And she goes, well, sort of. She's like, I've been thinking, I want to be more like her. And he's like, you want to be a bad girl?
And she's like, yeah, like your sister Polly was.
That, yeah, he goes, like your sister Polly was? And this... This jars her.
This takes her back a little bit, because that's not something she's heard of outside of her mother.
Right. And he goes, yeah, Jason told us all about her. Prissy Prude by day, freaking the sheets at night. And we hear this, like, little music sting as she's just sort of staring ahead clearly, and then it cuts off and she's back in the moment.
Mm-hmm. So she makes plans with him to meet at Ethel's house, because it has a pool and a hot tub.
Which he's clearly excited by.
Yeah.
Well, he's says Ethel's house, and then he's like, oh, no, I'm not doing this.
Because her parents will be gone. She'll leave a key.
And he's still not buying it until she says hot tub.
Yeah. Boys are so easy.
God, he's an idiot.
So they set that up, and as she's leaving, he says, I'll be gentle, which is so creepy. So gross.
Anyway, so bad. That's what rapists say. Yeah. Archie... now sneaks in home badly.
And his dad says, welcome home, Ferris.
Oh, so good.
Which is a great line. We love Ferris Bueller's. And they've already established that dad hears him every time he sneaks out. So you would think that Archie would learn. I need to either figure out how to sneak out so my dad doesn't hear me, or I don't need to sneak out anymore because I suck.
He also runs into Vegas. Like, he trips over Vegas walking in the door.
Okay, we had dogs growing up, and they were really shitty watchdogs. Like, they would bark anytime the doorbell rang or anyone showed up, but if they were with my parents were sleeping, they weren't doing anything. So they were really, like, you can come and go if you please. It was great, let me tell you. High school was a special time.
But we have this really... lopsided teenager style argument between him and his dad.
He starts with he's
begging to be able to go to the Taste of Riverdale event. He's like, you can ground me for 6 months, a year, I don't care. I just want to hear my song get played.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm not negotiating on your punishment. And Archie said, I mean, this is a reasonable argument. He's like, fine, but you have to own it. And his dad's like, what are you talking about? And Archie says, if I had a football game, would you stop me from going? No, because you understand and you respect football.
Which is reasonable.
Which is a fair statement.
But then... There's some reasons behind that, and we can talk about that in a little bit.
We get those a little bit.
But moreover, his dad makes the perfect point of, we're not talking about my...
This is about your behavior,
not about me.
Yeah, it's a good back and forth. Like, this felt like a real conversation.
It did.
Like, a real fight between a parent.
Because, God bless it, Luke Perry is our new dad.
I love him. I'd sleep with that guy. I'm not going to mix words about it. Absolutely.
Anyway, Chuck shows up to Ethel's, and Veronica answers the door.
Mm-hmm.
Hair completely wet, slicked back.
And a swimsuit and heels.
Mm-hmm. And so Chuck goes, where's Betty? And Veronica says, we decided that we should stop fighting over Archie and start learning to share. And so this is where we get into the whole weirdness of censorship.
So Betty comes out and she's got...
Whoa, but we're missing the whole line part here of what Veronica says, right?
Well,
you want to get wet?
Oh, she says, let's get wet.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had to say sex stuff earlier, mm-hmm. but now we're talking about getting wet in the hot tub.
Well, yeah. They're going to get in water, so they're going to get wet.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, yeah. Plausible deniability.
Whatever. And so Veronica is totally grown up sexing it up. But in walks Betty, and even Veronica's like, what the fuck?
She is shocked. Betty comes out, and she's got a wig on, a black short-cut wig, and this lacy long-line bra with a skirt and heels. And she says, Betty couldn't make it, so she sent me instead.
Who is this?
Okay, I'm just going to put this out there. No teenage girl has that type of underwear.
No.
Not unless she's super freaking rich and she has no parents who are not involved in any way, shape, or form.
But maybe this plays into something we can talk about later. Could it be Polly's?
Perhaps. Could be her mom's. I don't know. But it's messed up.
Yeah.
That's unrealistic an underwear collection for a small town girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is necessarily... I think that's intentional.
Oh, absolutely. It's just it's one of those things.
And plays into the story.
Totally.
But now we cut to Taste of Riverdale.
Mm-hmm. All the parents are there.
This gets real interesting real quick. Mm-hmm. Hermione's catering for Pops.
Alice Cooper's getting drunk.
And as Fred goes over to talk to Hermione real quick and just, you know, how things going. And, you know, she's just like, you know. Whatever. And then Miss Grundy walks over to get a slider. Mm-hmm. And Fred goes, wait, are you Archie's music teacher, Miss Grundy? And she already starts to look nervous.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, can I talk to you for a second?
And then it's like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's so bad.
So meanwhile, now we're with the Blossoms. And Mayor McCoy goes to walk over to them and, you know, just be like, I'm so sorry. How are you guys holding up? And...
Penelope says, you know, fine, considering you haven't done anything to track down my son's killer.
They're clearly just, they're upset. Just, yeah, they're incredibly upset and distraught.
So then Alice, drunkie Alice, comes over and asks Penelope she'd like to make a statement.
And she gets motherfucking slapped in the face.
Slapped hard.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
Yeah. And Penelope says, like, that's for leaking my son's autopsy report. Like, he was tortured and shot and thrown in the
and
river.
She's,
like,
and she's about to just garbage. Completely break down.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody can blame Penelope Blossom in this moment.
No. Penelope is a...
You can say it. We're explicit tagged.
I'm going to save it. You get really happy when I say that word.
You've got choice words.
Yes. But not great word.
She's clearly pushing the line way too far.
But I think that kind of that slap in those words kind of stunned Alice a little bit. She looks kind of like she's definitely drunk, but a little like rattled.
She's rattled, and in some ways, there's a recognition of maybe I went a little too far on that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alice seems to have limits to where she will go, mm-hmm. and when she sees a mom truly distraught by the loss of her child. I think she realizes, oh, hoo-hoo. Even if it's only in her own self-interest.
Yeah.
So, we're upstairs in the balcony.
No, because of this commotion, Josie starts singing.
Oh, right. Josie starts singing, and it's the song...
It's the song that
they were working
Archie
on.
Helped. Yeah.
So we go up to the balcony, and we see Jughead, and he's sort of poking around, mm-hmm. like Jughead does. And then he looks over, and he's like... Is it worth it to come here for the locally sourced cheese? And we look over and it's Archie. And Archie's like, man, I'm just here to hear my song. Mm-hmm. So they listen for a minute and Jughead kind of looks over and is like, it's good writing, man.
It's not bad. And then he's got to go and he says, I'd love to stay, but I got to go shake down an evil adventure scout.
And Archie stays through the end of the song and he's about to leave, but he sees that...
No, he doesn't see it.
Okay, so he's just listening to the song, and we're cutting down to the floor.
Then we cut to Fred.
Fred's talking to
Grundy.
And this is where we get, again, the wonderful Luke Perry moment. This is probably his best moment in this whole thing.
It's pretty good. He's asking Grundy, about this music thing? And Grundy says he has passion, and Fred says, does he have any talent? And Grundy says, yes, he really does. And Fred makes the statement, it's hard to watch your kid chase a dream they may never catch.
Oh, so it's, good.
Which is good. And Grundy says, you know, he is coming late to it, but with some hard work, he could do it. And Fred says, but can you make a living at it? And Grundy says, it'd be a shame if he didn't try.
I mean, this hits home for me in some ways because of going to school for the arts.
It's one of those things where your parents want to encourage the thing that you're talented at and that you're passionate about, but they also want you to be realistic.
Yeah, and
to be fair to Fred, he is only known about this music thing for a very small period of time. Everything else that him and his son have discussed has been football and college and business school.
We have this last little tagline there of Archie's a special kid.
Yeah, he asks, you know, what made you take an interest in my boy? And she creepily says, Archie's a special boy. Gross. Gross. Then we get drunk Alice Cooper walks over to
Hermione.
And she goes, oh, Hermione Lodge, Park Avenue Princess to cater waiter. And without missing a beat, Hermione Lodge says, Alice Cooper, no longer lactose intolerant. Ugh, that's a good one.
I don't get it.
Makes it sound like she's a spitter.
Nah. Anyway.
And then Alice says, oh, it's a shame about Veronica. And Hermione's just like, what? And she's
what
like,
are you
with the
about?
Slut shaming. That's what they call it when sluts get shamed. You gotta keep an eye on girls like Veronica.
Because, you know, this never happened when they were in high school.
Seriously.
So Hermione takes the high road and just walks away and immediately grabs her phone to call Veronica. Mm-hmm. And we cut back to Ethel's and we see the phone ringing with Mom on it.
And Veronica rejects it.
And so she's looking over and Betty has drinks out.
She's
pouring something into one of the drinks.
She's opening a pill capsule and Veronica's like, what is that? She has the muscle relaxer. You mix it with booze and Hello Truth Serum. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think we should slow it down. And Betty turns to Chuck and is like, you don't want to slow it down, Chuck. Do you?
Betty's completely turned into somebody else.
Yeah, Betty is not home right now.
Something's going on. And Veronica is totally looking like, what did I get into?
She is now Dark Betty.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is who
Dark,
it is.
Dark Betty.
Dark Betty's showed up. We've seen Dark Betty before when she yelled at Cheryl in her bedroom.
But this is
like
a new level.
The full embodiment of Dark Betty.
So we're back in the Taste of Riverdale real quick, and Jughead confronts Dilton.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, I know what you did, you liar and a public menace.
You shot a gun and you're a liar and a public menace.
It's
a little overwrought even for Jughead.
Oh, absolute.
And Dilton just says, like, don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. Like, and Jughead just goes, I don't care. You can either tell the sheriff or you can tell the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You pick. And walks away. So we cut back to Ethel's house, and now the hot tub is boiling and steaming way more than we know.
And Chuck's handcuffed in it.
And Betty says, are you recording? And Veronica's got her phone up. It's like, okay. So Betty says, tell the truth. Tell the truth, Chuck. What happened? And Chuck's like, we had a good time.
She had a good time.
She's like, tell the truth, Chuck.
And she starts turning up the heat on the hot tub.
It's going to get hotter.
Yeah. And so basically, he finally admits that they went out, they made out a little bit, and then he dropped her off home, and that was it. Nothing happened. And Veronica says, that's all you had to say, you ass.
That's all Veronica wants.
Mm-hmm.
Betty, however, is not satisfied.
She's not done talking to Chuck.
She's like, now she puts her high heels on his head and starts shoving him under the water.
Oh, and Ethel's watching all of this, by the way.
And grinning.
Oh, she's...
It's real creepy.
Barb is
creeping. Little hardcore.
Yes, Barb creeps. Dark Betty starts yelling.
Well, this is... First
she's like, isn't this what you want?
Apologize.
Apologize for what you did to Polly.
Well, no, not yet. She's pushing the head underwater and is like, you need to apologize. You need to say you're sorry. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. And then she says, now for your reward, you're going to get your own sticky maple. And she pulls out maple syrup. And this is when she starts pouring the maple syrup on his head and says, apologize. Apologize to Polly for what you did to her, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Apologize for what you did to me.
Oh, say you're sorry for destroying me.
So, first she says, apologize to Polly, and calls him Jason. Then she says, say you're sorry for what you did to me.
I think we got some of that a little mixed up, but regardless, there's some disassociation going on here.
Clearly.
Yes. Dark Betty is unhinged.
At At best.
And Jason's
freaking out. Chuck is saying, I'm not Jason.
Yeah. I'm not Jason. You're crazy. And Veronica shuts it down. It's just like, okay, Betty, you did it. We did it. We're done.
And Betty snaps out.
Yeah, she does this actual snap.
And says, you're right. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we see of that. So it's the next morning. Archie grabs his backpack. He's headed out, and he hears some hammering.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what's going on. He walks outside, and in the garage, Fred is putting up soundproofing.
It's just like, if you're grounded, at least you can be productive. And I like that his dad is trying to understand and support his son.
Yeah.
But I feel like this would have been better if his dad had woken him up and been like, all right, come on, you're going to help me out. And they start cleaning out the garage, and he makes Archie do the work to soundproof the garage.
You know, you should write a letter.
I should.
You should write a letter.
This is where you got it wrong.
To them.
I felt it was a little too easy. It's almost like his dad is apologizing for punishing his son.
Honestly, I almost wonder if that was thrown out in the writer's room and they just didn't have the time to put it in the episode. It's entirely possible.
Could have cut out some of the staring at Grundy crap.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fred does have the good line of, so I talked with your music teacher, Miss Grundy. They did not look like that in my day, son.
And Archie's like, what?
Oh, God.
What did you talk to her about? He goes, you, son. And he's panicking.
Well, you, son. And he's freaking out. And then he tells him it was like, about music. And it's like,
oh. It's like, she believes in you, and I believe in you, too. Barf.
So we get to school. Paper publishes the expose. And Veronica's like, how did you finish this? But he's like, stayed up all night. Couldn't sleep after what happened. And Veronica's just like, yeah, you know, I'm really thankful you did everything, but,
Can we talk about it?
Shit got super weird.
And B's like, Chuck deserved it. And B's like,
how far were you gonna take it? And Betty's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Betty's completely avoiding.
Yeah, and, yeah, B's makes it almost like, yeah, it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mistress Hyde.
She's like, I really don't think it was.
And she's like, you called him Jason and yourself Polly, and Betty's pulling her backpack out of her locker, and she closes it pretty quickly, and she's like, That didn't happen.
Well, the way she's saying it, and this is, again, a testament, I feel so bad because I've seen her name a couple of times, and I need to put it. So, this is a testament to her acting,
mm-hmm.
in that, at the same time that she's doing this whole denial routine, in her eyes, and this is such a huge thing, but in her eyes, you totally see this thing of, nobody can know this inner monologue that's going on.
It's Lily Reinhart.
Lily Reinhart, thank God. We're going to mention her a lot because the acting's just incredible.
She's great.
But in her eyes, you can totally still see all of that stuff that she knows exactly what happened.
Okay, and she hasn't been anything that you and I would have seen.
But she's totally shoving it as far down as she possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica keeps pushing on it, just like, please just talk to me about it. And she shuts the door. She's like, I'm just sick and tired of guys treating people like me and Polly or you like they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then just walks away. And Veronica kind of looks and just says, and then just kind of goes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
She realizes something's up, but whatever. Like, maybe it was just the pressure of the moment. Maybe it was just, you know, with Polly, and who knows.
Yeah, so Jughead starts narrating, but as it starts, we get his locker zoom in into Betty's locker, and yeah. It zooms right into a picture of Betty and Archie, and then it pans up, and there's the wig she was wearing, and mm-hmm. hairbrush. So it's like, she has that at school.
And Jughead's repeating the same lines as before. Yeah. Life, death, guilt, innocence.
Yeah.
And, but he gives us the sort of end narration again. He said, you know, when the dust settled, Weatherby still had to have a
sacrificial lamb
for our avenging angels.
Yeah.
And, Hermione negotiates down everything,
mm-hmm.
and looks over and is sitting there talking with Betty and Veronica, and looks at Veronica and says, next time, what'd she say?
It's just, next time, come to me first, don't take matters into your own hand, Miha.
So, we get a moment there where we're like, oh, they are Hispanic or Latinx.
They're Latin.
So, but the fallout is that the coach, in order to save his job, in order to save anything, has to cut Chuck and the goon squad from the football team. And we've got this hallway sequence where all the girls have their phones out and the flashes are going off like it's flash bulbs. Mm-hmm. And the four, it's Ethel, Cheryl, Betty and Veronica staring them all down as they walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jughead said, nobody knew it then, but that was going to be...
It was going to have terrible consequences in the weeks to come.
But they walk outside the hall and Ethel... is, you know, just...
She's happy.
And super thankful.
And Betty's, you know, thank you for coming forward, Ethel Muggs. And then Cheryl was hashtag justice for Ethel, which is funny because of Stranger Things, it was hashtag justice for Barb.
And there's still a chance Barb might come back, guys. We're still holding out hope.
Oh, shush.
But Jughead brings up the final line of that day, Betty and Veronica, or B&B were forged, maybe forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're outside, and Betty's bringing the playbook to a trash can and dumps a little bit of lighter fluid in there, and Cheryl lights the lighter and throws it in and just says, you know...
whoever killed Jason hurt him.
And maybe Jason hurt other people.
And maybe he hurt Polly, and I'm sorry.
And Betty doesn't say anything. She just looks in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Archie goes in and thanks Grundy.
Talk to my dad. Can we restart lessons?
Does this mean we can start up our lessons again?
They start lingering, talking to each other.
But... Oh, it's so gross! And we get the more important thing is that Dilton is in the offices of the Blue and Gold, and is just like, if you tell anybody about the gun, I'll get kicked out of the Adventure Scouts. It'll be a misdemeanor on my record. So what if I have a better story?
And they're like...
What do you got?
What you got? And he says, Mrs. Grundy's car was there. I saw it. And Jughead says, despite our recent issues, I would have done anything to protect Archie. But Dilton Doily opened Pandora's box, and nothing I or anyone else could do could save him.
And as he's saying that, Archie and Grundy are making out.
They're making out at school. So, yeah.
So bad.
It is really bad.
Like, and... At certain points, it's laughable bad, but it's getting to the point where it's like, this is gross. Legitimately not fun to watch.
Hmm.
Not enough to not watch the show, no, but...
We don't like their scenes together because she seems so horrible in them.
I know.
If she wasn't acting that way, then we wouldn't care.
If she wasn't acting it like but this show an actual
is,
romance.
This show is very bingeable. If I wasn't trying to make sure I wasn't spoiled on future stuff, I would just keep going.
So let's throw out some weird ideas here, because mm-hmm. we have this whole poly break, or this whole break.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my way out there idea is that what if Betty is Polly?
No, that's not possible.
Okay.
Because we know Polly was an actual person.
Right.
If she was Polly previously, people have been like, okay. It's like, it'd be a whole town lie.
But is Betty embodying Polly?
Yes, I think this is something, has something closer to multiple personalities, which is DID.
Dissociative Identity Disorder,
yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
We need to look that up to be sure we've got the right term.
It's Dissociative Identity Disorder.
Well, I do believe that things like that, you can have that triggered by trauma.
Yes.
As opposed to, like, multiple personality, I think, is an actual trait.
They don't use multiple personality disorder anymore.
That's fair.
It's dissociative. Yeah, it's that instead.
But
because I remember lots of talking about that with Mr. Robot. But I think that is a more likely scenario, that something has happened to Betty where she has taken on her sister's personality.
And the other idea that I float out there, I know you've got the theory of, you know, it's Betty's dad. What if it was Polly who killed Jason?
That would make sense, but I also think that given the fact that Betty knows nothing about Polly.
Right.
She really doesn't. All she knows is what her mom told her, and we know her mom is psychotic. I feel like Polly's not in, like, a group home. Polly's probably in a mental institution. like in a straitjacket.
Well, I'm wondering if neither of those are true.
Or she got pregnant and she ran away to have the baby, and that's where Jason was trying to go.
Or Polly just ran away and got away. I mean, maybe it wasn't even a baby. She was just trying to get away with Jason. So there's definite possibilities. Maybe. They're not giving us enough to get some real concrete theories going.
It's episode 3. So.
But they're giving us little nibbles there to start looking at. So yeah, man. It's another episode down.
Cool.
It's good stuff.
That's it for this episode. Please take a moment to review and rate us on iTunes, and for questions and comments, drop us an email at macintoshandmod@gmail.com.